going to talk a little bit about Roy Berg, and then we'll say an idea about Nila. Roy Berg with her Jake's father-in-law. And I don't know if you guys had paid a Shiva call. It's definitely Kedai. As I was saying, it wasn't awkward because his wife ran a good ship. But when I had basically in my life, I had one actual interaction. You could always like make up. You had interactions with people, but I had one real interaction with Jake's father-in-law. Before he got sick, like right after Sukkot last year. And he was telling me about the importance of. We had like an hour conversation. He's a real schmoozer, and for about an hour he was talking to me. And the whole conversation, it kept stemming back to how proud of his family is and how important family is. And he just kept, he would tell a story, and it would just hash back to how important family is. And I mentioned that to Barbara. And she was saying, yeah, that was like everything to him. His 18 grandchildren, and the fact that he's got a kid in the army and a kid in Lakewood, and how he sees it all as one, and just how beautiful, and how that really was the most important thing in the world to him. And it got me thinking, and a lot of times we'll think about this, but it becomes more to fruition when like it actually is game over. That at the end of the day, you're gonna have whatever you're gonna do with your lives. However you're going to pursue your lives, you'll always be, if I did one more business, and I think about this a lot too, I don't know if any of you know, real estate's really expensive everywhere now. There's been a real estate boom. It's absolutely out of control in Israel, just to put things in perspective. I bought my home 2 years ago, and it's gone up 50% in 2 years, which is pretty insane because... it only had gone up about 30% from when I bought it 2 years ago, from when it had been bought 5 years earlier. So, that's really quite a boom. And I started working like a month before I got married. What if I had worked like a year or two before and had more money put away and we could have had a bigger home, et cetera. Instead, I spent those extra years learning. And it's not a humble brag, just happens to be the mincius of what occurred. But a lot of it is if you have that extra time, and at the end of the day, at some point, I'll die, and my kids will sit shiva, and not to be so morbid, maybe that's true, but sometime it's going to happen. And the last thought I'd like to think and hope that will be going through my head at that time will not be, I wish I had worked for an extra year. I wish I had made one more business deal. If only I had invested in Apple when it was, $12, and now it's, whatever it is. If only I had done this, I'm not going to think that, because when they're going to bury me, all of it's going to me. My checkbook, checkbooks are like in that time, well, really, that won't even be a thing. They won't even know what a check is at that point. My bank account, my money, none of that is coming with me. It won't matter. I like to think at the end, I'm going to think about my wife, my children, Mr. Shem, as many generations we'll get to by the time, it's game over for me, my siblings, parents, etc., my extended family. And I think that's what Rabbi Berg was teaching me so eloquently at that time, that's what matters. He's a rabbi of a shul. I don't know what else he did in addition, but nothing else really really matters per se, but your family really is, and whatever, your family, your Torah, are really the things that that leave off. Another thing that was told to me just about Rabbi Berg, which is having to know this guy. Rabbi Berg was a rabbi of a shul in Brooklyn for 42 years, something like that, in 40 plus years. And he really, really cared about the youth. Somebody who works at a Shana Aleph yeshiva, I can relate to that kind of. It might come as a surprise, but if I was to work in fundraising in a hospital, they probably pay better than a Shana Aleph yeshiva. If I had to guess, it probably would pay slightly better. Not the nonprofit. No one's confusing us with hedge fund managers and investment banking, but. There is ways to make more in fundraising, but I could definitely relate to that idea of really caring for the youth. And this guy came to visit who is now a super, super Haredi rabbi. He was actually in with like Rav Yashiv and really in the Haredi world. And this guy came from like Flatbush, like high school, not what you might be thinking of when you hear like Brooklyn. And this guy was into all kinds of things, doing all kinds of things that weren't good for his Avodas Hashem. And Rabbi Berg really like took him under his wing and really cared for him like his own child. And when this guy came to pay a shiva call, So evidently the Nechama, the Reitberg's wife, got it. And this guy broke down. I know, like, never, and it's a Haredi garb. The guy broke down out of a Hakaras HaTov for everything Rabbi Berg did. And as you're all, for those of you that are going to Leva Chayal, which seems to be most of this room, but for those of you that, maybe everyone in this room, okay, for most of you still time, but whatever you guys will do, whatever, and I'm not, you'll hear enough to Leva Chayal. You're not going to hear that from my, you can take that line back. I probably didn't even mean it, but I definitely, I'm not going to be the one that's pushing that. Okay, maybe you haven't. But whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to do in your lives, obviously serving in the Sahel is very, very important. When you go back to college, whatever you're going to do in your lives, is to really take that message to heart, that make a difference. Whatever it is, whatever you're going, and that doesn't mean you can't be a lawyer or a banker, or I mean, doctor would be, I guess, a natural way of making a difference. But it doesn't mean you can't have a high paying job. But have something in your lives that you're making a difference. Not because you want to pat yourself on the back. Oh, look at me! I don't really do anything else, but I'm making a difference. But because that's part of our avodah in this world is to make a difference. It's also an avodah to be able to support your family and put food on the table. So don't think like you should just be running around only making a difference and then not be able to eat. Like you're allowed to eat also, but to really make a difference. I heard this past week, I actually met this guy once, right, Greenberg, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Karen Vyavna. I was at an Ufruf, and he happened to be there. And, I guess I can, Leva Torah, maybe a little different than, like, your other heads, especially, like, when I, is my reaction to Leva Torah, like, there was no such thing when I was here. Like, of course, everyone knew who Reboaz was, so it wasn't, and had what to do with him. That wasn't such a foreign concept. So when I went to yeshiva, there were 40 guys. Okay, it could be now as yeshiva's gotten bigger. Maybe this is more relatable, but it wasn't relatable. So it had me, my friend who went to KBY, so, right? Greenberg shows up to his Shalosh Shodot at his offer. I'm like, oh, are you close to him? He's like, I've never said one word to him in my entire life. This guy wasn't like a bum who, you're finding him in some alleys while he's here in Israel. He was in the base medrash for two straight years, but the din was you just didn't have what to do with the Rosh Hashiva and KBY. Okay, maybe things have changed. But really, Greenberg one time heard this story, and Som Gedalia. A lot of people have this thing. Oh, I don't fast well. Okay, newsflash: most people don't fast well, and in the heat of Ramat Beit Shemesh, most people need to eat and drink. It's not a chiddush. And on Som Gedalia, there were a lot of KBY guys that were sleeping in. They were sleeping in. Oh, I have a headache. I'm not feeling well. Perhaps there's something in Leva Torah that's connectable. Maybe not. Maybe more. We have to go to the Shana Aleph, bridge to say this. And right, Greenberg told everyone to come down. And I don't think it's like that. I don't think this is like a thing that would really happen very often. And he utterly ripped them to shreds. He ripped these guys, and KBY had already had a full L's mod. They were very, very serious guys. He ripped them to shreds. Like, how could you possibly be doing this a day after Rosh Hashanah? I never even really thought about them. Like, oh, Taka, it really is the day after Rosh Hashanah. Now, okay, we're a few more days past that, but it's ready tomorrow night. It's 30 hours till Yom Kippur. So it's literally here. It's literally here. So however you want it, you can take that theme of Som Gedalia, but the same would hold true for the next 30 hours, that to have that mindset and idea in your head, what am I doing? Why am I not here? Why am I not, not that I need anyone to show up, but we're going to have to imagine that there's only eight guys in the shir, because, we don't want to chas or something. It'd be possible that 30 hours from Yom Kippur, anybody's not here. But in everything we do for the next day, at least, as I work my Shabbos Shiva to Russia, we're allowed to even be fake during Seretz Meitzu. We take on chumras that aren't real, and even if we're only going to do them now, but for the next 30 hours, and then leading into 25, 26 hours of Yom Kippur to be like, what am I doing, why am I not here, am I tired? Yeah, everyone's tired during Matir Yonah, everyone's tired during Nila, everyone's tired, everyone's hungry, you're not alone, it's not just you. You're not so special that you're hungry during Ne'ilah. We're all hungry during Ne'ilah. We're all hungry. But we only get one shot at it, and to really make the most. I've had a lot of very nice Yom Kippur davenings in my life. Leva Torah, I've had five, six of them. Very, very nice. One year in Queens, I davened at Or Chaim. Or Chaim is Basically, they give you a whole preparation. Yom Kippur is like unbelievable, like really intense. I like really intense. I've been in Landers the year before, absolutely beautiful. I don't know, so intense, but it was beautiful, amazing chazanim. Okay, I went to Orach Chaim. There's definitely some reason why being closer to home made more sense that year. I don't know. I have young kids. Maybe my wife is expecting. I have no idea. In any event, you go there, Kol Nidre. That's nice. Shacharis Musaf. It's like right before, it's like the break for my wife who has to say Yisker. So break for Yisker. I'm asking him, like, it's not really so intense. Like, what's going on? Maybe like before Mincha even. He's like, don't worry. Like, wait till Ne'ila. I'm like, okay. Mincha is like, you know, normal. And then, like, you know, before Ne'ila, the Rosh Hashiva gets up. He speaks for like 2 minutes. So I'm like, oh, here's going to be. It's going to be the real intensity. And he literally speaks for 2 minutes. And he says, you know, the whole year during Ashrei Nuvalos, you know, we have no Kavanos. So our Minhag here is we yell it. We say it all out loud. Okay. Having had to go to the bathroom. The bathroom was pretty far away. I'm not exaggerating when I say, and I was downstairs. I was like literally downstairs. I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying, like, the place was shaking. I, like, mamish belt that was shaking. You come in, the place is yelling beyond belief, and that was what the next 2 hours were. There was not, except for the, you know, 15 minutes or so of silent Shmoneh Esrei, you could not hear yourself think that place was so loud. It really, you know, it probably put, like, what the Super Bowl is, it put it to shame. Like, it was so loud, and it was, like, really, and for me, like, the most inspiring thing, the whole thing was inspiring, was when, during it, hearing it from the bathroom, it's like funny to say that was inspired, but like literally hearing everyone yelling Uval Tzion and like thinking about that, we say Uval Tzion every day once, we say it several times on Shabbos. Most of us probably skip half of it when we're saying it, not even intentionally, or then we say it by heart, we're not really saying it. We never have, if we're even saying all the words, we're having zero kavana for it. Like, you know, it's not a well said feeling, you know. We'll be honest, Jews here. Probably Shmoneh Esrei, we have a little more kavana. Probably many of you have a lot of kavana, but no one's really having so much kavana during Uvalot Tzion. And even Asher, if you say three times a day, probably also, you know, gets trapped in that as well. But definitely Uvalot Tzion, like the captain tefillah of that we say every day that doesn't have, you know, at least like Shir Shiyom for Yom Ravi and Brech Shemei, we don't say every day. But Uvalot Tzion is like that number one tefillah, we don't have kavana. And just hearing the place exploding and trying to mend. And maybe that is really what these last 30 hours are. We're amending. We're amending a year. We're amending a year of personal tshuva. As I said the last time, like, we still have corona going on in the world. So, as a world, we haven't yet solved how to end this, this gezeira rav. We're going to say in Avinu Malkeinu, like, we really have to cry rav gezeira dineinu. Like, it hasn't, you know, maybe the magefa is not like it was at the beginning, because at the beginning, like, we couldn't live our lives because we were in fear. At least now, most people we know aren't really in so much fear, but our lives are still affected, and to really uproot that. And I'll just conclude with a story. I heard my brother, he actually said this once in West Hempstead before Ne'ila. My brother had a very, very good friend when my brother was Shana Bet. This guy was Shana Af the year before. He went back, he didn't come back for Shana Bet. And winter break, he was skiing. This is probably why I never went skiing before. With meaning this would have been when I was started. And this friend of my brother's, he passed away while skiing. And like a terrible accident, and he passed away. So this, I guess it would have been this guy's nephews and nieces were in my brother's camp. My brother runs a camp. And there was like a birthday party. I'll be honest, I really don't like my children's birthday parties. I love when they make the rule that you don't have to show up. Like, that's been one of the great things about corona, that the Hanukkah parties, like, you know, everything's like on Zoom. Like, we had a parent-teacher meeting yesterday on Zoom. It's just so much better than having to go in and not having to go up to the birthday party. So, like, if I'm not getting pictures, like, okay, maybe I'm just not the most loving parent, I don't know, or just, I just don't need to, like, see them have their birthday. I don't know, like, do something at home, but be it as it may, this person's nephew niece, like, the whole family was there, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts, okay, you know, this is like a pre-corona thing. Like, you could bring in, you know, anybody and everybody. You want to bring in 50 to a birthday party? Okay. My brother didn't object. Like, it definitely wasn't a common thing, but he didn't object. So he goes up to his friend's mother, and he asks her, he's like, it's so nice that you guys came, but just, you know, like a four-year-old birthday party. Like, why are you all here? Like, it's a little interesting. I don't know. Why are you all here? And she says to my brother, you know, in our family, we never know. We never know. And my brother was, okay, he didn't know, but my brother was like beyond, he was shaking after that. And I'm not going to go like he went on like the whole like before an eel like we don't know and you know and it's true. It's really it really is true. We don't know. I'm not going to go. That could be a little bit of a where our life will be. If we're gonna wake up the next day, but I don't really want to take that approach so much because it's a little depressing from a living or death perspective. But definitely a point that I was saying, and I always did think this that before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and I'm into davening. I happen to like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it's the rest of the year's davening I'm not so into, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur I'm very into. But I used to really think like you know I'm a little older than you guys, but you know at 33 like. It's still really rare when I hear of, like, someone at 33, like, who just, like, something happens, unfortunately. But it's becoming less rare and hearing of a lot of very sad things for people my age, specifically women, who are dealing a lot of her recently who are dealing with cancer and all these, Rahman al-Aslan, they should all get better, but. Amen. I don't really think I'm going to die. I don't really think. But I'll say one thing for sure. What the last year and a half has shown me is I definitely think more something bad can happen than I thought 2 years ago. When I went into Yom Kippur in 2019, you know, I wasn't Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur at that point. I wasn't really, I guess when you guys were going into 12th grade, you know, I wasn't really thinking, you know, the world is really status quo. So I think we all can admit to whatever we're relating to, whatever level we're on, the world is no longer status quo. Things are definitely happening, and we never know. We never know what is going to be, and to really appreciate that during Ne'ilah. You know, I also think like davening gets shorter and shorter. Maybe in Israel they skip more. I don't know. Slichos is just so much better here. I don't remember it being 25 minutes ever during a Aseres Mechuvah. This has been. It's much easier to concentrate for 25 minutes versus like 50 minutes worth of slichos. But I don't know, but like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's also felt like it's gotten much smoother as I've gotten older. At least the experience is more tolerable. But we Ne'ilah's not so long. It's really not so long, and we're gonna be there. You know, quicker than we think. I'm not gonna do. If we do the. I don't know, whatever, 40 something, 50 something hours, whatever it's going to be, whatever it's going to be till Ne'ilah, it's not so far away from now, and we're going to have the minute, the hour, 2 hours to close it out, to yell, to close it out, to really beseech the Hashem, both for on an individual level, which is obviously very important, and perhaps most over, just because of everything that's going on, because we all know, we were all here last year. You know, as much as we want to like fool ourselves, we all kind of know that like the second, you know, Corona's over here, something else is happening. We saw last year, be it Meiron, be it being in Yom Yerushalayim, and Ramo's head missing a rock by an inch, and that ended up hitting the KBY guy, and rockets, and everything else that's going on, and to really believe in it, you know, it's scary and in a way unfair. It's unfair for us as individuals to feel like, why is it on me? Why do I have to carry all the weight? Like, it's really on me. But to, you know, the same way that when it comes to, you know, you really need to have 10 people answering a main. So I always find that's like the irony. You got to wait for 10. But I feel much more confident in meeting with 10 people than 100 that actually 10 people are answering a main. Because with 100, like, you know, who does it? And the Mishnah Berurah brings down there that you have to view yourself, if it's 10 people or 100 people, view it as 10. Like, I need to be the one that's going to do it. And for this last little time we have before Yom Kippur, and then especially on Yom Kippur, view it. View yourself. Torchina, you're going to save the world.
I know.
Good. Have confidence. That's good. It's good to have confidence. Really, really perceive it that each and every one of us have the potential to change the world, because the world certainly needs change. The world certainly needs geula. That's something we always need. That you know, I'm as guilty as is. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and you know, we're all, you know, I love all of you. Like my brother said, you know, we're I'm not working in the hospital, but I was thinking about this the other day. So I can be honest with each of you. I don't think every day about having the base of Mikdash, about yearning for the geula. And I was thinking, like, how is that possible? How is that? And I even do things. I say, I'll notice bubble when I bend. I even do things that are supposed to help you, but I don't watch so often. So maybe that's why I don't get to. I don't. I don't eat bread so often. It's not that I don't wash so often. I don't. Benji was a little nervous there. And I don't think about it enough. And, you know, I guess that's like the Tisha B'Av season to think about that. But it's really an everyday thing that we have to constantly be thinking about the gula. It's not as like a savior, like, oh, you know, the world sucks and, you know, let's just bring gula so that, you know, hopefully the base of Mikdash can end everything. But because there's something bigger and better waiting, and that's why we really want that. But to really try to put that into perspective, to think about that more and to make these moments matter. Don't be that guy. You need to get the mussar shmooze. What am I doing during this time? And moreover, on Yom Kippur, yeah, you'll be tired on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is tiring. Or just conclude with this. Ramo spoke at least 2 or 3 years ago when I was here. He spoke about that. It's all from a Kaddish Baruch Hu that we can do Yom Kippur. You know, to do 5 Shmona Esrei, like, you know, we do 3 Shmona Esrei every day. That's what we can handle. Like, you know, We're not our cousins who are able to daven 5 times a day. We can only do 3 times a day. It's all above and beyond that we're able to get to 5. So once you're done with with Musaf, really on or Mincha, I want to say 4, if you do 4 on Shabbos. Once we're done with Mincha and Yom Kippur, we have nothing left in the tank. It's all from a Kaddish Baruch Hu that we're even able to do Ne'ilah. But Ne'ilah is the most important tefillah of the entire year. The gates are literally closing. When I came back from America, they were out in American Airlines. They never flown internationally, so they're learning how to do it. And I got there about 2 hours and 45 minutes before our plane, and a half hour before the plane was scheduled to take off. And they were still saying we're leaving on time. We had not checked in yet. Okay, we finally check in. We just get through security. I'm with 3 little kids. My oldest kid is 6 years old. 3 little kids, and they're saying, "Last call, last call." I'm like, "Oh shoot, we're really gonna miss a plane." And like, I'm running. My daughter's like, "I can't do it. You can do it. Like, just go. You can do it." Like, you know, like yelling in JFK. They think I'm a Meshuggah. And like, we finally get there. Like, as the gate is closing, so. Okay, it's probably a little more dramatic than actually was, but like, we really did get on there, and I'm not kidding, like, the plane was up in the air like 4 minutes after we got on the plane, so it wasn't like I'm like really embellishing. Like, we were in our seat for like a minute and the plane took off. Like, it really was like very, like, I don't know, like my kids fell, or like, I don't know, if one of us collapsed. The plane was literally leaving. And that's what Ne'ilah is. Ne'ilah is, the gates are closing. It is our time to clinch the deal, to cinch the deal. We've nothing else left, because after Yossi, when you're having your breakfast after, you're going to enjoy whatever food that Mary's going to put together. But you're not getting another Ne'ilah. It's just that. The gates are closing. And then it's Beinus Madim. However you want to make out of Beinus Madim, make out of Beinus Madim. But the gate for your Ne'ilah, you know, you just get that one opportunity, and then they're done. And then it's done. Make it matter. We really don't know individually and on a global scale. And we all have a lot of things that we need Hashem's help for. Probably it could be for many of you more so than I have, and I have plenty that I need to figure out and have taken care of as well. We all have a lot that needs to be taken care of. We have to conclude this Yom Kippur with really, really bringing it all in. Everyone should have a Gemar Chasima Tova, and all our tefillah should be answered.